Monday, December the 10th, marks the International Human Rights Day, commemorating the drawing up of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights back in 1948. Over these past six decades, the language of human rights promotion has become a key part of political, economic, social, and in many places religious organizations working for the common good of communities in countries across the globe. Meeting with Catholic non-governmental organizations here in the Vatican on December the 1st, Pope Benedict encouraged their work to promote human dignity and integral development, urging them to counter the prevailing logic of relativism with a spirit of solidarity and truth. Among those listening to the Pope's words was Donald Leader, advocacy officer for Edmund Rice International, one of the newest Geneva-based NGOs set up by the Christian Brothers and the Presentation Brothers to better promote the human rights work of their members worldwide.
The Catholic Church, effectively through the religious orders and the missionaries and the schools and the various services and education and health and in other areas as well, is, if you like, it's the single largest NGO in the world, to use that kind of language. And in terms of its impact, you know, it reaches globally like no other organization. And as a faith-based organization, the Catholic Church is probably one of the most effective voices and channels for human rights work that exists. An interesting comment was made by Archbishop Silvano Tomasi at that meeting, which was that human rights is effectively, it's a new language for the Church. I mean, one person even said it's a new way of actually speaking the gospel for our times. And that, of course, is entirely in harmony with what John Paul II was saying and what Paul VI was saying. But oddly enough, the message around human rights hasn't really gotten through to the Catholic community worldwide in quite the same way, maybe, as, let's say, social justice might have reached people.
You're saying the human rights agenda hasn't perhaps been embraced by the worldwide Catholic community. Why do you think this is?
Well, it's interesting. We're coming up to the 60th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and I suspect that it is entirely the case that many Catholics don't really know very much about what the Catholic tradition is, what Catholic social teaching is in relation to human rights. So there's a fair bit of education to be done. And frankly, as we know, in the period since the 1960s, in the last 40 years or so, the human rights agenda has often been linked with left-wing groups, and, you know, certainly people have been nervous about it. But the great secret and the news here is essentially that the Catholic Church and Catholic intellectuals were very much at the center of the movement that led to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And I think His Holiness, and indeed others as well, are very anxious that the Catholic community would reconnect with that tradition and understand human rights within that tradition. It's often referred to as the natural law tradition. So, yeah, there's a job to be done here.
You're working very much within an enormous political structure there at the United Nations, aren't you? So many countries, so many different delegations, as you say, each with a particular agenda. How do you manage to maintain this very particular Catholic identity within such an enormous organization?
Well, I think that is also part of the problem at the moment. When Catholic NGOs and Catholic organizations began to seek accreditation with the international bodies in the 1950s, I think the figures were something like there were 40 Catholic NGOs and about 150 NGOs in general linking with the international bodies. Today, you have slightly over, I think, 120 Catholic NGOs, but the number of registered NGOs with the UN, for example, is around 3,000. So there is a certain amount of dilution of influence there. How do Catholic agencies or Catholic NGOs hope to influence what goes on at the international level? Well, quite frankly, in much the same way as others, namely through lobbying and advocacy initiatives and strategies. However, the great strength of Catholic NGOs very often is the fact that they are an independent voice, and they also have this enormous resource in terms of simply the Catholic community, the Catholic community worldwide, and the parishes and the schools in the various services. And that is an enormous asset. And it is something that nation states are very much aware of, so that when you refer to country-specific situations, very often the states will be aware, look, we've got a Catholic community as part of our civil society. And very often that Catholic community is, in fact, a significant proportion of that civil society. So do Catholics do this kind of work differently from others? In one way, probably not. In another way, yes, the faith dimension is very much central to what they do.
We're marking the International Human Rights Day, and you rightly pointed out that next year marks the 60th anniversary of the Universal Declaration. Your organisation is committed to promoting this observance. How exactly are you doing that?
At the moment, we took the very first step today, which is by putting a statement up on our website that we intend to do this. And because we are very much involved in education with schools and education centres and projects of one kind or another in the education field, one of the goals over the next year will be, in fact, to make our schools and our projects aware of simply the existence of the Universal Declaration on Human Rights, but also to draw attention to the fact that they themselves as schools are part of I suppose one might call it the defense of human rights. I was in Papua New Guinea last year, and I recall in several meetings with teachers and colleges, speaking to school communities and asking teachers, well, how many people in this room are teachers? All hands go up. How many people in this room are educators? A little bit of hesitation there because people aren't clear. What's the difference? Then I asked the question, well, how many people here are human rights defenders? Not one single hand goes up. And I say to the people, actually, all of you are. So to be involved in education is to be defending quite a number of essential human rights, the right to education itself, of course, but very often from a Catholic perspective, the right to life, and the right to food, and in fact, pretty much the whole spectrum of human rights. So it's a new way in which people can begin to see what their work is. So part of what we will be doing over the next year is raising awareness around that new lens through which people can see what they are doing pretty much already.
And my thanks there to Donald Leader, Advocacy Officer for the Geneva-based Edmund Rice International.